not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
It seems like we all recognize that voice. That is Gil Scott-Heron with his most famous tune. Poet, writer, musician, activist. Gil Scott-Heron died of unknown causes at age 62 on Friday. He was HIV positive, and he had struggled for years with a drug addiction. With his first album in 1970, Scott-Heron recited poems over piano and conga drums, where he sang in his melted voice about poor blacks trapped in the ghetto, railing against the media and the priorities of his nation, a nation that he thought was obsessed by cars and sitcoms and clothes, while they ignored the urban poor. He's often called the godfather of hip-hop, but he never liked that name. He wanted to be known as a bluesologist. Still, there's no denying that the roots of rap and neo-soul are there in his music.
The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother.
We're joined now by Jackson Allers, a music journalist who worked with Gil Scott-Heron, and also M.K. Asante, author of It's Bigger Than Hip-Hop, a professor at Morgan State University and filmmaker. M.K. Asante, you dedicated your first book, Like Water Off My Back, to Gil Scott-Heron. Why?
You know, thanks, first of all. It's good to be on the show, Celeste. I dedicated Like Water Running Off My Back to Gil Scott-Heron because he had an influence on me and a whole generation of writers and poets and people in the hip-hop generation. And so I just was paying homage to him because he inspired me. He laid the foundation. And it was him and some other people I also dedicated the book to, but he was among them because he was one of the pioneers.
Well, I want to read you a quote from Chuck D, who was the leader of Public Enemy. He said this last year, not because of Scott-Heron's death. He said, you can go into Ginsberg and the Beat Poets and Dylan, but Gil Scott-Heron is the manifestation of the modern world. He and the Last Poets set the stage for everyone else. What do you hear in Gil Scott-Heron's work that is so prophetic, that kind of set the stage, as Chuck D says, for what was to come?
Well, you know, hip-hop is all about, you know, it comes from America's inner cities and America's urban struggles. And so Gil Scott-Heron was being a voice for the voiceless. He was speaking out on issues that weren't being addressed in other places. So he really lays that foundation in terms of saying what needed to be said, saying what the community was feeling. But, you know, for example, Gil Scott-Heron in Evolution says, we are tired of praying and marching and thinking and learning. Brothers want to start cutting and shooting and stealing and burning. You are 300 years ahead in equality, but next summer may be too late to look back. I mean, that's what people were feeling. That was the energy that was going on in the community. So he was able to voice that in a way that hadn't been heard before yet. And to do it rhythmically, to do it using all types of new poetic devices and innovation, do it over jazz and blues riffs, go back to blues, but also reach forward to kind of where modern rap and hip-hop is.
Well,
so
let's take a listen.
He really was that bridge.
That's M.K. Asante, author of It's Bigger Than Hip-Hop and professor at Morgan State University. Let's take a listen to one of Gil Scott-Heron's songs. This is The Bottle off his 1974 album.
He done quit hitting 9 to 5. He drank full time and now he's living in a bottle.
Also with us this morning, Jackson Allers, music journalist, and you worked with Gil Scott-Heron, so maybe you can answer this question for me, Jackson. Many of the things that Gil Scott-Heron will be remembered for as the precursor for rap and for hip-hop and neo-soul, those are not the things he wanted to be remembered for, right?
Well, honestly, at the time I have to agree with your esteemed guest. It's good to have Asante on the line, but I have to say that Gil, for me, also was a hero growing up. He changed my conception of the marriage between music and poetry. And, you know, when I got to work with him in 1998, we brought his band together, the Midnight Band, for the first time in 25 years to Los Angeles. So I can say from my personal experience with Gil that it was a humanizing experience because, you know, Gil did suffer from addiction, and that was a hard thing to see. But honestly, the idea that when we got to work with him, the idea was marrying his generation with the younger hip-hop generation in one show. So it was great for me to be able to see a younger generation coming to see Prince Paul, Cut Chemist, and these kinds of music archivists and appreciators, if you will, with Gil Scott, and seeing the two generations come together for that show that we put together.
And speaking of the younger generation honoring Gil Scott Heron, take a listen to the last track on Kanye West's album.
And the new word to have is revolution. People don't even want to hear the preacher spill or spiel, because God's whole God has been thoroughly peeped, and America is now...
MK Asante, do you think that, are there still rappers to this day and hip-hop artists who are still sort of carrying the torch that Gil Scott Heron lit?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think you can hear it, you know, in that that song that you just played off my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy from Kanye West. That song's called Who Will Survive in America, and it features a Gil Scott track from a poem he wrote called Comet Number One. So yeah, you can see it, and that's not the first time that Kanye has sampled Gil Scott Heron. He's done it several other times. Artists like Common, artists like Most Death, MF Doom, Native Tongues, Black Star. There's so many artists who are constantly sampling Gil Scott or using lyrics or using references, using beats, tracks. There's so much. So I think he would definitely live on through the next generation.
That is MK Asante. He is a author of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop, professor at Morgan State University, and a filmmaker. And also Jackson Aller's music journalist, worked with Gil Scott Heron. We're talking about Gil Scott Heron, poet, writer, musician, activist, in some cases the voice of a generation. He died on Friday of unknown causes at the age of 62.
And just 30 miles from Detroit, they built a giant power station, and it ticks each night as the city sleeps. Or maybe seconds from annihilation. Yeah, but no one stopped to think about the people, or just how they would survive.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.